Hello, welcome back to the Big Sister Podcast. My name is Marissa, your big sister, friend, and host, here to chat with you about life, society, culture, all the good things. I do want to say that this podcast is for both men and women. We're here to vibe, we're here to just talk and challenge ourselves and learn together. Today we are talking about counseling, but before we talk about counseling or therapy, I want to celebrate 1 year of this podcast. I want to acknowledge that I am not perfect. I am very much, how you say, a sinner. A sinner. And I want to make this about, yes, my experiences and myself and my life, but also about the Lord and Jesus, and he's given me this place to talk about him and to also connect with you, to build connections and relationships and to chat and to journal about life. This has very much also been a platform where it allows me to decompress and allows me to feel this weight off of my shoulders just to be able to talk and sit and know that people are listening. But on top of that, just that it's also a place where we can be challenged and we can grow together. And I'm only in my 20s. I definitely do not know a ton. And I definitely listen to other podcasts and I'm like, dude, why the freak do I have a podcast? Am I qualified for this? Do I even know anything? And I think it's sharing what I know at this stage of life that I'm at and having grace that as I continue to grow up, I'm going to learn more. But I think it's beautiful to be able to document the beginning stages of your youth. Or for me as a young adult in, you know, that atmosphere that I'm in, which is an atmosphere that is very godly and very ministry heavy. But it's interesting to document this in my early stages and then see just where it goes from here. And I think the Lord's going to use it and honor it. And I just want to make it very plain that I'm only here by the grace of God. And let's pray in, actually. But before we do that, I do want to say thank you. It's officially been a year, and this podcast just started as an idea, a dream that I had for a really long time. And then I just went on a whim and did it. And once I, you know, announced mine, I noticed that it became like very popular for my friends and other people I know to also do a podcast. So I think there is some inspiration that comes, not to hype myself up, because that's not the point of this, but I think that by you going on a limb and making your dream happen, it does like inspire other people as well. That being said, since starting the podcast, we have had over 1,000 downloads. We have people all over listening, and it's just cool to look at the stats, and it is so dope that people listen, dude. People are downloading, and that's just awesome. And I just hope that you guys continue to support by leaving reviews, leave comments, follow the podcast Instagram at the Big Sister Podcast with 2 T's. And yeah, plug, plug, plug. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you. I can't believe it's been a year. Like, it's a year to this day. That's crazy. That's absolutely, like, wow, what? What? We've definitely had some growth, especially since our spicy episode, if you know what I'm talking about. Since our spicy episode, that's our most downloaded episode, of course. But since then, it did bring retention, which is kind of weird. But may his name be glorified even in my lack of, in the wisdom and knowledge that I have now, I think is awesome for my age. But in retrospect, in general, it's not a ton. There's so much to learn. So I thank you that even in all that I possess, but in also all that I lack, that I get to do this. And I mean that all across the board in ministry, in my business, in this podcast. Praise, 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 praise. Okay, so as I'm recording, I am filing my nails, which is very girly of me because I never do that. But they're starting to do that thing where they hurt and my cuticles are like hurt. Yeah. They do this thing where, you know what I'm talking about. And today I was, yesterday I was shooting a wedding and I was the only girl with natural nails, which was quite interesting. So I helped the bride put on her dress. Anyways, that's not what we're here for. Let's talk about therapy. Although I'm being weird, I'm in much more of a chill mood because it's really late at night right now. But let's talk about therapy, or as I like to call it, counseling. And I like to call it counseling just because I think that sometimes the word therapy, like, people can make that to seem like, I don't know, much more, what's the word? Much more free and mystical than it should be, if that makes sense. That probably didn't make sense. But sometimes we can idolize the word therapy and what that can potentially consist of into something that isn't necessarily helpful. Sometimes we can magnify our problems to the point that it becomes an idol and we want to just be obsessed with the fact that we have issues and the fact that we have mental health issues or the fact that we're in pain. Like, some people want to idolize their pain and they get so comfortable with it that it becomes their identity. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm that girl. I'm this kind of girl. Like, I'm the girl who's always in pain. I'm the girl who's sad. Like, let's not do that. And sometimes we can idolize therapy in the sense of not to help us, but in the sense of like, yeah, I have all these issues. Let's make it all about my issues. Like, not going to therapy for the purpose of progress, but going to therapy as like, as an idol or as a badge of validity that you have issues. When in actuality, everyone has issues. It's just the degree of those issues or how they affect you or how they affect certain individuals is different because everyone's different. That's all I have to say about that. Hopefully it's received well. If not, I don't know. We're just going to keep it moving. Alrighty, so counseling. We're talking about counseling, what it is, why you need it, and what to look for in a good counselor. So again, the title is Everybody Needs Counseling. Or, you know, the title says therapy just because that fits better in the title. But everybody needs counseling. Yes. Yes, my friend. Yes, babe. Including you. Including you. You too. I know. You think you're perfect. Or maybe you're like, I'm fine. I don't need. No, you need it. You probably need it more. Okay. We all have that one friend. We all have that one friend that, or that one person we know that does not believe in counseling. And they need it. They need to believe in it. You're like, please believe in it. You need help. Like, go get it. Please. I'm begging. And they're that one person. And if you don't know that one person, you might be that one person. You might be that girl. You might be that guy that's like, man, I don't need counseling. I'm fine. I'm good. Counseling's for crazy people. No, no, no. You know who's crazy? The people that, I'm not saying all people because I don't want to offend you, especially if you're one of those people. But oftentimes the people that say counseling's crazy are the ones who are crazy. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to leave that at that. But counseling is actually very, very healthy. Let's start with talking about counseling in a social context and how it is viewed by the world. Thankfully, in the last, I would say, I don't know, I'm going to say 10 years because that's what I'm feeling, but probably less. Probably more so, yeah, it definitely hasn't been 10 years. More like in the last 7 years. The last 7 years or so. What year is it? Yeah. Okay. The last 7 years-ish, counseling has become normalized. So the way that it was originally viewed by the world, it was definitely like, counseling is for crazy people. Like, you shouldn't go to counseling. You shouldn't go to therapy. Like, that means something's genuinely wrong with you to the point that you need to talk to someone else. There's also the people that believe, like, how are you going to help tell me how to live my life? And you probably have your own issues. How are you going to advise me what to do? You know, there's just all these ideologies or incorrect belief systems that people had about counseling that just weren't valid. And maybe they were valid in the sense because of, you know, there's some people who went to counseling and they were hurt, and so it steered them away from that. But let's if I don't want to invalidate your experience, but let's be honest, in everything that we do, there's going to be people that get hurt from the situation, because sometimes you're going to enter, you're going to have the experience where you weren't treated right. And that happens with everything. That happens with counseling. That happens with church. And when we get hurt, sometimes, you know, we're like, we get scared and it hurts us. And so we want to walk away. But we know that just because it was a poor experience, it doesn't mean we have to rid the concept of it completely. When it comes to counseling in the past couple years, or the past, let's say, decade, I would say like 2015, it started really becoming okay to go to counseling. And then I would say 2017, 2018, it was like, dude, counseling's, yeah, like everyone needs therapy, everyone needs counseling. And especially with the whole COVID, then it was like, please go get counseling. We just went through a pandemic. So counseling or therapy used to be a taboo topic in society. People used to assume that therapy or counseling was for the crazy. Thankfully, Gen Z, and I'm going to attribute Gen Z, has really changed the narrative around counseling or therapy. And we have normalized seeking help. We have normalized that going to someone for wise counsel is not weird. It does not mean you're crazy. If anything, I think it means you're healthy, or you're at least striving to be healthy. God uses counseling. Counseling does not diminish God's power. It does not mean the Lord isn't capable of healing. God uses counseling to heal. God uses counseling to minister to people. So counseling is ministry too. And I love when churches actually make counseling a part of their ministry, where they desire to help counsel people, because we need that. The Bible talks about wise counsel. Although the Holy Spirit, yes, is our counselor, he's our advocate, he's our helper, God also has used people for his ministry. And if he uses people for the ministry of in regards to like evangelism or sharing the gospel or church or worship or preaching, then God uses people for counseling too. You know, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. That's James. And I stand on that scripture. I know that scripture like the back of my hand. I always reference that scripture. And I think that counseling is a very, very much practical way of that scripture coming into fruition. Using people to heal, confessing your sins to your counselor or your accountability, and watching yourself become healed. And I think sometimes we read that scripture and we think synonymous healing, but really the daily practice of that scripture, I think healing is comes with it. And I think sometimes it's really our interpretation and understanding of scripture that helps us better implement it into our own lives. When we read the scriptures, it's like, oh, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. We think, confess my sins, immediately I'm healed. But in actuality, the practice, the habit, the renewing your mind daily is where that healing can stem from. And perhaps James isn't saying that as like a one and done thing, but he's saying live your life that way. So what does having counseling mean? Having counseling means you're walking in the right direction. For some people, you know, as I said before, counseling means you're healthy or you're striving to be healthy. It means you're caring for yourself. It means you're human. Having counseling just means you're human. And there may be seasons where you need a ton of counseling because life is just life in. Or there may be seasons where you don't really need any counseling, or your counseling's very minimal because you're doing pretty well. And but then there's also seasons where we think we're doing very well, but in actuality, in those seasons that we're doing great, we should have counseling, because then we can build firm building blocks in the midst of how well we're doing, so that when things aren't good, we have a cushion, we have a plan, we have building blocks. And that's something, I'm not saying this as like, oh, I know, like this is fact, yes, but this is something I am learning to do now. I'm in the process of learning this. And so, confession, I go to counseling and I feel absolutely no shame. But when I say that, I say that with pride, because it's like, yeah, I care about myself. I show up for myself. I'm reaching out to someone who has these tools and methods to help me. And I think that it's awesome because as I am in counseling, it's teaching me how to counsel others. As I'm in counseling, I notice the way that she speaks to people. I notice how she kind of helps people create that safe space to open up and talk. And so I've implemented those same tactics in the way that I speak to people and the way that I evangelize. When people are talking to me, you know, I can ask more questions. I could say, perhaps there's a different perspective. That's something my counselor says a lot. Perhaps there's a different perspective. Or she's like, when you're going through something, perhaps you can have a different perspective. And when I say something, to make sure that she understands what I'm saying, she says, what I'm hearing is, and she uses that phrase, so what I'm hearing is, and then she explains what she heard. And these are all counseling tactics of communication tactics and counseling. And it's a great thing to use in evangelism and when hearing people, because it helps people feel heard, and it helps people feel like you're listening. And that's a great tactic for just people in general and relationship. And that's something that you would not necessarily learn without either research, getting a degree, or simply being in counseling. So I definitely recommend, because it's also helping you just build better relationship with people and better have a better understanding of how to talk to people, especially with different personality types. Certain personalities you need to do this, certain personalities you need to do that. And that's something that you can really learn in counseling. So there's definitely some benefits. That's one benefit I would say of counseling. But back to what does having counseling mean? And why we need it. Let's actually jump to why we need counseling. Believe it or not, you have trauma. It's okay. It's okay. I have trauma. We all have trauma. It's inevitable. We live in a fallen world, so pain is inevitable. Many times the question that is asked, and this is a question that we learn how to answer typically in apologetics, or if not apologetics, just being a Christian. Why, if God exists, why is there so much pain in the world? Well, the even asking that question, it's like, do you think God is just this genie who, you know, everything's supposed to be perfect in this world just because he's God? Like, I just feel like the question isn't a valid question when trying to disprove God, because it doesn't disprove God at all. Let's run through it. Let's answer this question really quick. I was going to run through the, let's go to scripture. And let's go to Genesis. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles. Oh, what was that? Okay. Genesis 3. Notice, we're only chapter 3 of the whole Bible, of the first book, and we already done messed up. Just so sad. It's okay. Because Jesus came. Praise. Okay. So I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And I was going to run through this story really fast, but I just decided that it's worth opening scripture for. So Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord had made. And the serpent said to the woman, can it really be that God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat from it nor touch it, otherwise you will die. And one interesting thing that I hear a lot of people point out when they are reading this scripture is that God, when he gives them the command to not eat from that tree, he doesn't say that they can't touch it. So that obviously shows that one, Eve added to God's commandment. She added to God's commandment. So let's go back to what the Lord actually told her not to do. And he said in Genesis, it's Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil you shall not eat. Otherwise, on the day you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience. So this is where he literally says, you, if you eat from this tree on that day, you will die. You shall most certainly die because of your disobedience, which shows that would be the first time that anyone has disobeyed. That would be the first time that anyone disobeyed if they eat from that tree. Spoiler, they end up eating from it. So, and the serpent said to the woman, can it really be God that, okay, so going back to Genesis 3, Satan's talking. Can it really be that God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree that is, which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it. Otherwise, you will die. Right? We just read it. He didn't say she couldn't touch it. Like, she just added stuff. She wasn't. What? Eve. Adam. Were you listening? But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. Freaking liar. For God knows that on that day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. That is, you will have greater awareness and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. So Satan's doing one of them partial truths, right? And that's why we cannot partially lie, guys, because Satan does that. He'd be twisting words and partially lying. And so he said, you certainly will not die. And in the sense of like, yeah, they will not die, but it was the spiritual death that happened. This curse entered the world when they chose for the first time for anyone in existence to disobey. And this is something that I would love to like for us to sit down and really just like digest and go through. But for the purpose of just answering, like we're making this longer than it should be. But you certainly will not die. You'll be like God. And he tempts her with this pride of like being like the Lord, which is funny because that's exactly what Satan wanted and was trying to do when he disobeyed and fell from heaven, you know, to hell, that whole situation. But basically Satan tempts her with the very thing that he himself desires that he can't have. It's just so interesting. But anyways, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at. Of course, disobedience, sin, it's pleasurable. And a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband. Let's acknowledge that. We always blame Eve. Adam ate it too. And he ate. Then the two of their eyes were open. That is, their awareness increased. And they knew that they were naked and they were fastened fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And it's so funny, after this, they immediately hide, which just shows that's what sin does. Causes you to hide. You immediately feel the shame. We see the synonymous correlation with sin and then shame. That's just so interesting. Anyways, so to go back to counseling, pain existing does not disprove the existence of God, because pain exists as a result of man, not God, because God can't do anything bad, nor can he create anything bad. Bad things, bad situations, negative, painful situations come from the disobedience and sins of human, meaning that there's pain in the world because of the fall of man and because of the things that we do to other people. They, right? Someone's going through pain. It's like, oh, why are you hurting? Well, someone did this, this, and this to me. Even when people leave the earth, when they pass away and that hurts us and it causes us to mourn, it's the fact that like death, us dying is a result again of the fall of man, of sin. And this world is decaying and it's sick because of the curse that it's now under, and it must be redeemed. So, and we know that it will be redeemed. There will be a new heaven and new earth when Jesus returns. Whoop, whoop, can't wait for that day. But we understand that, okay, so we're living in this sick, fallen, ungodly world that Satan literally is the ruler of. So we can't be shocked when horrible things are happening and people are dying. We can't blame God. Satan is the ruler of this earth. God has given him full control because, you know, this eventually will be destroyed. And listen to my words, not full control of us, but in the sense of this earth, this world, like, there's all these sinful, horrible things that can happen because we're under this curse now. And so I say all that to say that trauma is inevitable. You're gonna have pain. We're gonna go through crap. But there's this comfort of knowing that we're under the Lord and that we have the Lord and that His plan will be done and that He's protecting us and that though we are in this world, we are not of this world. So the things is, these storms, these things may try to hurt us, but it does not define us, nor does it have that much power over us. Like, we can choose to have a different perspective, and the scripture says God works things all together for our good. So the Satan will attack, he will use people, situations, all that crap, but all things the Lord will use all things for our good. And so one way to heal from this pain, one way to allow God to turn our situations from bad to good, is to allow counseling to have its place in our life, wherever we are sick is being unveiled, it's being revealed, so that the Lord can use counseling to make it good, to redeem it once again, while we're still living on this fallen place, this horrible place. But we can still begin to walk in this process of sanctification, walk in this process of healing. What's happening is, as we're living life, we are becoming more and more like Jesus. We are becoming more and more sanctified, more and more like the Lord. And He is healing us. He's using counseling. He's using people to heal those broken parts of us. He's refining us, right? He's using different things as medication to help or heal this broken part of us. Notice when you get medicine from a doctor, right? It's usually not a one and done deal thing. It's not like you take one pill and it's over. It's typically a process. You usually have to take the medicine, like, take some pills every day until it goes away. And that's often what it's like with our sickness and our trauma. Oftentimes, it's a process. Sometimes it's instantaneous. It's a healing. It's Lord saying, you're healed right now in the name of Jesus. And 1,000%, I've seen all over the scriptures and in real life where the Lord has done that. But there's also beauty in the process of where we have a story. God loves the process. He loves the instantaneous, but He also loves the process. There's beauty in the process. There's testimony in the process. There's redemption in the process. And so He'll allow us to go through this process of healing. And we learn a lot from it. It's very beneficial for us, where He refines us, where He makes us new, where He redeems us. And counseling is one of those methods. Notice the process of counseling. We keep going. Things are they're revealed to us. As they're revealed to us, we begin to get the medication for that issue or that problem. And then we go to the next thing. Okay, this also happened to you. So for instance, there's a person, they go into counseling. It's like, oh, you have this problem. It's revealed to you through questions, through prayer, through seeking. It's revealed to you. You have this problem. Okay. And then the counselor is like, let me give you these tools, these methods, this information for you to have the medication that you now need to take. You go through the process, whether that be a week, two, a month, a couple months, and then you heal from that thing. And then it's like, great, we're good in this area. And then it's the next thing. It's like, all right, what's the next thing? You have a problem here. Let's give you the medication. Let's give you the tools, the methods, the information, the process to heal from this different thing. And the thing is that for each issue, the healing process isn't going to be the same because it's a different issue. You get the analogy. And so counseling is one of those things where we can really use that as a method to heal. Now, we must understand that the counselor is not our God. The counselor is being used by God for healing. And undealt trauma, undealt pain can lead to more trauma and mental torment. So we need to have the desire to be healed. We need to have the desire to get better, to make progress, because as we just begin to let it fester, it grows and we only get sicker. We start feeling ourselves, it's getting worse. Sorry, that just popped in my head. I bet that was so loud on the mic too. But it's all skin wasa. Notice when you get sick, sometimes your body just heals itself, and sometimes it gets worse. I had laryngitis, guys. Sucked. And it was not going away. I was freaking... I don't know. I didn't talk for, you know, a while. It was a while for me. At least it felt like it. And I was trying to avoid talking. And then I just had to sing all the time. Because, you know, worship. That's a thing I do. And I do it quite often. And my voice was just out, bro. It was getting tired. And this was like the first full month of January where I was just like, had laryngitis. Finally went away like mid-February. And finally I had to force myself to go to the doctor. And so he can diagnose the problem, which is what a counselor does. They diagnose the problem. Once they diagnose the problem, they explain the problem to me. Once they explain the problem to me and why it's not good that I have this thing, which is counseling. Hey, you have this issue. It's not great that you have this issue. We need to fix this. Let me give you some antibiotics or some methods or the solution or different ways to solve this issue. Then you begin going through the process of taking that medicine. Eventually, you get better. That's how it went for me with my laryngitis. He gave me medicine. And what's interesting is the first dose, it helped, but it was still very much there. It did not do that much. So I had to call again. They gave me the medicine again. And then the second time, you know, it was better. So that's a good analogy for how counseling can help us. So counseling is not God. The doctor is not God. They're a tool being used to get better. And we do not just want to survive in life. We want to live. Sometimes Christians can get to this place of like, oh, I'm just surviving. I'm just coasting through life until Jesus comes back. No, my friend. We are now called, once we get saved, make disciples. So we're here to tell other people about Jesus, to tell other people about this redeeming love, about this healing, about this fullness. And we're not here just to coast through life and live the best, you know, just go through the motions. No, we can go through processes of healing. Now we're continuously to striving to become more and more sanctified, living this life where year by year we're going closer to God. We're getting better and better and better. We're just growing as individuals in Christ Jesus. We don't want to stay the same. We don't want to be stagnant, because stagnant things die. We don't want lukewarm water. We want to continuously grow. Imagine that you're a seed and you're a plant that's being watered by the word, being watered by life circumstances, being watered by, you know, whatever, all these different things. You're being watered by the Lord is trying to grow you and grow you and grow you, bloom and blossom into something so beautiful and so fruitful that other people who believe in God or maybe haven't heard of his name yet can begin to pull off the fruits off of you, a tree, a branch, whatever, you get it. And they begin to reap the benefits of you being watered by the Lord. They begin to see the testimony of you were just a little baby, little plant. You were just a little baby, little plant. And now you a tree. What? And then you could be like, oh, the Lord did that. That's my experience. As I continued growing and growing in the Lord, I can only testify that it is by the blood of the Lamb. It is by Jesus Christ who has redeemed me. And through this process of life, I'm only getting better and better and better because I'm continuously striving towards Jesus. So that's the goal as Christians. We're not trying to stay stagnant. We're not trying to stay complacent. We're not trying to just coast through life saying, oh, once I die, you know, I guess I'll be with the Lord. And then I begin to really live for him and I begin to grow. No, dude. Point is, we don't want to be babies in Christ. We want to grow. We want to pursue the Lord. We want to learn about him. We want to grow in knowledge, truth. We want to grow in our spiritual gifts. You get the point. So I digress. We all need counseling. Trauma and mental sickness can affect how well you live life. And if we want to live life well, we're going to have to heal from our stuff. Because our trauma does not only affect us, it affects everyone around us, it affects our future families, and it'll affect the trauma that you give them. We want to kill generational curses. We don't want our children dealing with the same things that we dealt with. And sometimes with those who don't heal from their trauma, they just put that trauma right on their kid. Notice how, you know, those parents that like they just didn't heal from their own stuff. And so now they do all of this stuff. They do all of this stuff out of their own pain. They say things out of their own pain. They discipline you out of their own pain. They critique you out of their own pain or their own view of themselves rather than how God sees you or how God sees them. And so their trauma gets projected onto you. Their insecurities gets projected onto you. Things that they just didn't deal with, it all gets projected onto you. And then you have to deal with it. And we don't want to do that to our future children. We want to say, enough is enough. I'm going to be the healthy representation of my family. I'm going to teach my children how to be healthy, godly stewards of the word and live their life as a disciple for Christ. And that starts with you healing from your stuff. So your trauma does not only affect you. You need to heal not only for yourself, but for your future family. You need to heal for the people that need to hear the gospel, and you can't be as effective because you're still dealing with your own stuff or because you're still filtering everything in your unhealthy lens that you have. But those are all things that you truly can heal from. Counseling can lead you towards healing for yourself, your family, all that. But counseling can also lead you towards forgiveness, and forgiveness is it's a process. It's a part of healing. And counseling can lead you towards loving others, dealing with your emotions, and living life well with joy. Joy is possible. It's available. So I've just listed a lot of things. I've listed why we need counseling. I talked about what counseling means, what counseling does for you, how counseling has been normalized, how God uses counseling, how counseling is still ministry. We've talked about a lot. We've talked about the importance of having counseling and healing from it, from your trauma. Now we're going to talk about what to look for in your counselor. A part of me was like, oh, maybe just cut it and we do a part two. But I don't want there to be a chance that you don't hear this part, because I think it's very, very important, because we can just get caught up in the, oh, I need a counselor. And then we don't do our due diligence in finding a good one. Because there's bad doctors, there's bad cops, there's bad, I mean, I don't know a bad fireman. I'm not going to lie, the firemen, they be doing their job. But I'm sure there's bad ones. there's bad people. There's people who don't do their job well in every profession, right? So that means there's bad counselors. And I want to make sure you don't get one of the bad ones, okay? And also then there's counselors who enable us. There's counselors that aren't necessarily counseling. They're just letting you sit in your pain, and they're enabling it, or they're encouraging it, or they're just saying, yeah, you're sick, and you're always going to be sick. Sorry. But can I tell you that there's freedom available? And even if complete freedom doesn't happen, maybe that's your thorn in your life. But I promise you, there's a way to live with your thorn in a much healthier way than you are now. There's a way to have tactics of getting out of those holes, getting out of that depression, getting out of that mental pattern. There's ways for it to be better than what it is now. You do not have to be stuck in where you're at now. You do not have to be stuck and feel complacent, like this is just how it's going to be forever. No, can I tell you that there's a God who heals, there's a God who redeems, and I promise you, there is freedom available. So, and that may come through intentional processes and thinking patterns that you have to implement in your life in order to access freedom. For me, like with insecurity, or that I had, or different, bad habits I had, whatever, a lot of it came through having to train my brain to not think that way, having to silence my thoughts, take every thought captive. And a lot of the things that your counselor is telling you should be rooted in biblical principle. So a lot of things when they're saying, you know, flip your thoughts, that's taking your thoughts captive. When they say go to someone, have accountability, talk to someone about it, that's confessing your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Like, a lot of these things are just lingo for biblical principles we already believe in, but they're just in practical ways. And so your counselor, what to look for in a good counselor, if you're a Christian, your counselor needs to be Christian. And when I, now Christian's a loose term, I don't mean, yeah, they go to church some Sundays. They go to church some Sundays and Wednesdays. I know someone, they had a counselor, but they weren't getting any better. They were just living in their addiction. They were just living in their sin. And they would just go to their counselor. Their counselor would give them a feel-good pep talk. And then they'd just go through it all over again. Like, I'm like, dude, why are you paying them? Like, what is the point? You're not even getting better. You're not even implementing new processes into your life. You're not even implementing new habits. You're just living in it and getting a motivational pep talk. If you need a pep talk, listen to a TED talk. Ooh, rhyming. Anyways, what you need to look for in a good counselor: someone biblically based, someone who's truly in love with Jesus, who will point you back to the cross continuously. Someone who is able to reference scripture in their meetings. There's some counselors, you know, they can't use religion whatsoever, but then there's other programs and counselors where they have it, where legally it can be Christian based, and they can reference scripture. They can use Christian tactics or spiritual processes within their counseling. And so I would recommend that. I would say someone who just truly believes and truly follows it. And if you don't have good discernment in regards to that, because sometimes we don't want anyone that's legalistic, right? We want someone that's truly living for it, that's realistic. They're not legalistic, but they're living the gospel. And they have a good understanding of scripture. We don't want your counselor having biblical fallacies, all right? We don't want someone that doesn't understand the Bible for what the Bible is, okay? So you do want someone that aligns with your belief system. And since Christian is so broad and there's so many denominations in the Christian faith, I would say to go with someone that does fall in your denomination or something quite similar. I have a lot of jokes that I want to share, but I think they, you know, people might get offended, so I don't think I can share them. But you want someone that's definitely implementing the scriptures in their own life, that is truly living the gospel, that has found a way to deal with their own addictions and problems. And that doesn't mean they're perfect, but it does mean that they're an example of where you want to be. We definitely don't want someone that's hypocritical, that's telling you to do all these things that they don't even do themselves, or they're trying to lead you in a place that they're not even at. That doesn't really make sense, right? We want someone that's where you want to be, that has a heart that is aligned with the Lord and that is in biblical truth. We definitely want someone that's encouraging you, but we also want someone that's challenging you, all right? It can be easy just to find someone that's puffing you up all the time. I know people that, you know, they use prayer language in their counseling sessions, and it does a lot. It helps free the person being counseled in a mighty, mighty way. I've also heard different tactics where they press into what the Holy Spirit wants to say in that exact moment. There's many different methods used in counseling. And, you know, every counselor is different. The counselor that I'm with right now is very practical. She's also very understanding, and she does believe in the Lord. And she's very peaceful, which I really, really like. And she's helping me kind of create these practical steps and have this practical overview of life while still being able to be biblically rooted. And here's the thing. I think the counselor I have now is necessary for the season I'm in now, because I would say I'm pretty strong in the spiritual aspect. And the things that I'm dealing with now are more so things that I need to implement practically rather than spiritually, because I have a lot of people around me in the area in the spiritual sense. I kind of needed that practicality, and I needed something to blend those, kind of help me blend those two things in my life. So I would say it really depends on where you're at in life. For instance, if you're still growing in your faith, if there's a lot of darkness you're dealing with, I would say lean more towards the spiritual side. Finding someone that's really going to lean on the Holy Spirit, reference the Holy Spirit, reference scripture, pray over you. Really, you know, it's a very, very godly atmosphere while still they're still counseling you. And then if you're not in that place, maybe you're in a place where you need more of that practicality, you need more of that that implementation of how to take your past and how to take your present and blend it together because one thing that I'm dealing with is there's a lot of stuff we're talking about, but one thing is, like, she's very well versed in body image and what it looks like to change your perspective on the daily practically about that. Because I know spiritually, I know the thing is that the Lord is both practical and spiritual. Obviously he's more spiritual than practical, but spiritual principles can come out through practical daily habits. So for instance, reading your Bible, that's a spiritual thing. Spending time with the Lord, that's a spiritual thing. But you can make it practical in the sense of you're going to do it every day and you have a time that you spend time with God. That, you know, that's more of a practical step. So I don't want to go on a rampage. I feel like we've been talking forever because this is a very long episode. But we can definitely continue and do a part two potentially. And I can definitely share the things that I've gained from counseling. So a part two really might come out, besties. I would love to talk more about what to look for in a good counselor and my experience. So I thank you so much for listening. As always, follow the Big Sister Podcast with 2 T's. I really appreciate you guys and happy 1 year. We've been dating for a year, guys. I hope that's okay. And if you're a boy listening to this, then this is our best friend anniversary. We have not been dating, but we're BFFs. We're besties. And this is us celebrating. Okay? Anyways, I shall talk to you guys really soon. And thank you again so much for listening. Bye.